Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith. And we're going to look this morning at Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Living by faith doesn't have to make any sense. Living by faith doesn't have to make sense. Let's stand together and pray together as we open this morning. Give me a chance to stretch out one more time. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time we can gather together. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of freely coming to church and worshiping you together, opening your word, the Bible, together without fear of persecution. About the only thing we have to deal with is maybe someone making fun of us because we take the Bible seriously. And so may it be. It may be we'll face a day when we'll face persecution for believing the Bible and seeking to worship you, as is the case in so many areas of the world. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy in this nation yet to be able to worship you freely. And may we take advantage of it. May we be often worshiping you together. And above all, worshiping you privately, personally, and spending time in your word and studying it and praying. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Bless our time together now this morning. May you speak to our hearts. Help us now as we listen. Help me as I preach. May your name be honored and glorified, and may our needs be met in Christ and Christ alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Living by faith doesn't have to make any sense. Last week, we looked at Noah, and we saw that Noah took God at his word. And he stood alone, and he stood for God. God said, build a boat to Noah. And you know what? Noah built a boat. God said, Noah, build a boat. Noah says, I'm going to build a boat. That's what God said. That's what I'll do. That's because Noah took God and his word. Hebrews 11, verse 7. And he stood alone and he stood for God. Well, Abraham lived by faith even when it didn't make any sense. Without a doubt, Abraham is one of the greatest human examples of faith in all of the Bible. You know that about one-fourth of Hebrews chapter 11 is devoted to Abraham. That's because he was such an example of faith. In fact, one-fourth of the book of Genesis involves Abraham in one way or another. Abraham is called the friend of God in James 2:23. Would to God that I would be called the friend of God and that you would be called the friend of God. Are you? Will you be? Can you be? I believe so. If Abraham can be the friend of God, then I can be a friend of God, because Abraham was a sinner like I'm a sinner. He's the father of all them that believe, Romans 4:11. His faith was so great. God refers to him as the father of all them that believe. And also Romans 4:18 says of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. In Abraham, we see a life of faith, patience of faith, the victory of faith that pleases God and honors his name. That was Abraham, always pleasing God, always honoring his name. Abraham's faith triumphed over reason and laughed at impossibilities. What an exciting way to live, to laugh at impossibilities. If it wasn't possible, Abraham's going to do it by faith. He trusted and obeyed God when it didn't make sense. The Bible says of Abraham in Romans 4:20 that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't stagger in unbelief. He didn't go over here and over here, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, just like you can be and that I can be. In Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4, we read in part, the Lord had said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from your home, and I will bless thee." And Abraham got out. God said, "Abraham, get out." And Abraham said, "Okay, I'm on the road, Lord." He said in Genesis 15, 1 to 6, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars and see if you can number them. That's how I'm going to bless you and your descendants. They're going to be in number as the stars." In Genesis 17:17, we read that Abraham fell on his face and he laughed because God said, "Abraham, you're going to have a son." Abraham said, "Lord, I'm 100 years old and Sarah's 90. 100-year-old men and 90-year-old wives don't have babies, but God had a plan. And he staggered not in the promise of God. God said to Abraham in Genesis 15, "Look toward heaven and count the stars." Or I already read that. In Genesis 22 and verses 1 to 3, God told Abraham, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice on the altar." And Abraham obeyed. And about the time he raised that knife to kill his son, God held it back and he said, "Here's a ram. You can offer this ram in place." And he says to you and me, "Here's my son, Jesus Christ. I've given him for you, that you might live with me forever." Anyway, what a simple faith. What implicit obedience on Abraham's part. Romans 4:3 says, "Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness." And he'll do the same for you and me. Just believe God. You believe God, God counts that for righteousness. In Galatians 3:6-7, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And they which are of faith are children of faithful Abraham." And God looks at your faith as well. Galatians 3:9, "They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." James 2:23, "Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Why was he God's friend? It's not what he did so much as what he believed. He believed God. He had faith. He took God in his word. And because of the greatness of Abraham's faith, we have much to gain from his example, as revealed in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11, especially in that great hall of faith, that chapter of faith, some call the hall of faith. And our knowledge of Abraham goes back to around 1900 B.C., about 1900 years before Christ. He was a citizen of the city of Ur, located on the Euphrates River in what is today southern Iraq. In fact, we see that in Genesis 11. If you want to turn back to Genesis 11 and verse 27, Genesis 11, 27. "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram." In other words, Abraham's father was Terah. He begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of Nativity in the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. And the name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. But God's going to give her and Abraham a child. Well, the Ur of the Chaldees was already ancient by Abraham's time. But even though it was so ancient, Ur had an elaborate system of writing. advanced mathematical calculations, educational facilities, and extensive business and religious records. And archaeologists have found all of that that indicate that. Ur, from the Sumerian name Urim, which stood for the moon god Ur. The Sumerian name for the moon god Ur. Ur was also a pagan city. And on top of a huge pyramid ziggurat was a shrine to Nammu, the moon god. That's the culture in which Abraham lived. Archaeologists have discovered in the royal cemetery burials sealed with the horrors of human sacrifice. An advance as the city of Ur was, it was also bound in the darkness of paganism. This was Abraham's home. This is where Abraham, the great father of faith, lived, where he came from. This was his life as well. In fact, Joshua 24:2 says of Abraham and his family that they served other gods. Abraham and his family all served other gods. Again, Joshua 24:2. And God then called Abraham while he was living in the city of Ur, worshiping pagan gods, to leave everything. And Abraham left everything. We read Acts 7, verses 2 and 3. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee. Abraham, get out. And Abraham got out. Abraham's faith, believing God even when it doesn't make sense. That was Abraham. Concerning Abraham's faith, we see, first of all, faith's obedience. In other words, faith obeys. And he went out not knowing whither he went, whether here or whither there or hither or thither. That was Abraham. Wherever God said to go, Abraham would go. When he was called, Hebrews 11:8 says, when he was called to go out, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's me sometimes. I find myself sometimes just driving down Main Street, going north. I said, Terry, you fool, where are you going? And I'll sit there and think, I don't know. I forgot where I was going. And so I just go, and I figure it's going to kick in sometime. And sometimes it doesn't, and I have to go back home and start over. You know, and you go in the kitchen, there on the counter, oh, yeah, I was going to buy this. Okay, I was going to go to Ace Hardware and then to the bank and then to Dillon's and make my routine thing, you know. But he obeyed and he went, not knowing where he was going. He was called of God to go and he went. And so we read in Genesis 12:4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He's called to go. He obeyed and went. It's important to note that Abraham's believing life began how? How did Abraham's believing life begin? Well, Lord, you need to show me a few things here. Help me out here. What's all going to, you know, lay this all out for me? That didn't happen. It was an immediate act of obedience. He just went. God said, go. Abraham went. Faith and obedience are a must in our relationship to God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. His obedience was outward evidence of his inward faith. James says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works, James 2:18. In other words, James says, faith works. Faith results in you doing something, obeying God, doing what God says. Abraham never even hesitated, never doubted, never delayed. The tense of these words, that he obeyed the call while the word of God was still ringing in his ears. I think Abraham's camels were packed and 10 miles down the road, desert road, before God even finished his sentence. Abraham says, I'm going, Lord, just tell me where to turn. I'm on my way. You see, faith's obedience means that immediate obedience is so vital. Try to say that 10 times in a row. Immediate obedience, immediate obedience. That's your life. That's my life, right? Remember the spies? Was it 12? 12 spies went in. 10 were unbelieving. And they delayed, they doubted, and they disobeyed. In Numbers 13, only 2 out of 12 believed. Remember the names of those two? Joshua and Caleb. I think Caleb. That's bad if I get that wrong. Okay, I got it right. And Jesus, Matthew 4:18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren. Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And what were they doing? Casting their net into the sea because they were fishermen. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they what? Straightway left their net and followed him. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Matthew 4:18 and 20. We read in Acts 9. Let's turn there. Acts 9, verse 1. Acts 9 and verses 1 and following. 1 to 6, I think. And Saul, who would become Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. In other words, before Saul became Paul, an apostle, he was helping kill apostles. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, in the way of Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them down to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's where we need to be. Obey immediately. God tells you what to do, do it. Do it. That's so important. When Roberta and I were first saved, following our salvation, we wanted to tell everybody. I mean, it was such a change, and thought, you know, so we started telling our friends. We found the answer. It's Christ. You need to believe on him. It's not drugs. It's not alcohol. And our friends looked at us like, we were crazy. What is wrong with you people? And word spread. Don't go over to Terry Burnt's house. They got religion. And they'll preach to you if you go over there. But we were witnessing. We started going to church. We started following, going through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee every night at 11:30 after we got off work. We'd open our Bibles and turn the radio on, and through the Bible radio, J. Vernon McGee, and that's how we started learning the Bible. was J. Vernon McGee. He was starting in Genesis and in Matthew. And we started Bible study and prayer, and we gave up drinking, and then God started working our hearts about going to a Bible college. And, well, that's sure a different thought. Can you imagine that? And that's what we end up doing. And it wasn't always easy. In fact, hardest time in our lives was right after we got saved because we lost all our friends. It's like we don't have any friends anymore. They've all left us, you know, and because we don't want to party with them anymore. And so we had to find new friends. And so we started going to a church and found Christian friends and then Bible college. But and so it's not always easy, but it's always right. It's always right. Do right till the stars fall, right? And it wasn't easy for Abraham. God said, get out. Get out of your country, from your family, your father's house. So Abram departed. He got out. And God said, go to a land I will show you. He hadn't shown him yet, but I will. God says, I'll show you. And I'll make of you a great nation. And Abraham, no doubt, had an affection for these things that he left. It wasn't easy for him to do, but he would give himself to the Lord. His faith was a faith of self-surrender. When God moves in your heart to go, then go. If God's moving, go, obey, do it. You'll never be sorry. I've talked to people over the years who are sorry they didn't go, didn't obey, but I've never met anyone who was sorry they obeyed immediately. Now, maybe it's going to take a little bit to figure it all out, but just be moving, be going. Be going in the direction God wants you to go, and he'll make the turns. He'll tell you when to turn left or right or go up or down. When God moves and says, go, go, no questions asked. Get out. Get out of the old ways. Get out of the worldly ways. Get out of the sinful ways. You don't need that. I know you want it. The old flesh, the old man craves it and gets sucked into it. God says, get out of it. Put off the old man with his dirty deeds and put on the new man, which is created after God in righteousness and holiness, wherever that passage is. Get into God's ways. Get into missions. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary and serve God on the mission field. You say, well, I can't do that. Every missionary I've ever known said the same thing. And then God provided. God led. All the missionaries we support are just, they're just like you. They're just like me. Get into serving in the church. You can get in the mission in the church, serving the Lord through your church. Get into teaching. Say, I can never teach. Why not? Says, I'm not qualified to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, then get qualified. That's all I got to do. Get qualified. How do you get qualified? Just start doing it. I remember when we first started this church, we met in the 4-H building. And we had a few kids started coming. I told my wife, I said, you're going to have to teach a Sunday school class. She said, I don't do that. I said, well, guess what? You're the only teacher we got. So she started teaching in the hallway in the 4-H building, still there, still that concrete hallway, just like it was 40 years ago. And we set up a table in that hallway, and she had a class. And one or two kids, and we had Sunday school, and she taught for many, many years. That's how you do it. You just do it. You aren't qualified, get qualified. Well, faith through obedience. Faith through obedience. Secondly, we see faith's abandonment. Faith's abandonment. Abraham abandoned all for God. I wasn't sure what abandonment means, so I looked it up. And it says, it means to give up completely. To give up completely. To yield completely. To surrender. Faith's abandonment. Abraham surrendered. He yielded his life to God. He went out not knowing whither he went. That's where what you and I need to do, abandon ourselves, even when we don't know. We're not sure what's ahead. I don't know about all this. I don't know, you know. It's like when we started this church. Man, you must have really, really known what you're doing. I said, I didn't know what I was doing. I never started a church before. It's thought, okay, well, we're going to start on May 2nd, 1982, May 2nd. Wheatland Baptist Church, first service, May 2nd, 4-H building. Come on out. Never done that before. We had no idea how many would come. That first Sunday, we were looking out the windows in the 4-H building upstairs and hoping somebody would come. And we started seeing cars pull in, thought, wow, people are coming. And then people came in, and then they went in the main auditorium downstairs, and I realized someone's having a reunion down there. They weren't coming to our church. But then finally a few started trickling into our church, and we had a church, and we started out. I don't know, we had 18 that first service, averaged around 11 that first year, 11 on a Sunday, something like that. But we didn't know. He went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know where he was going to go. He was leaving the familiar comforts and security and stability of his home to go who knows where. Well, God knew. God knew. And God was leading him. I mean, they were going somewhere over the rainbow, right? Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue. And the dreams that you dared to dream really do come true. I had to read that because all I know is somewhere over the rainbow. And it goes on. Skies are blue, right? And the dreams you dare to dream of really do come true. Well, it's not the dreams that you dream of, but it's the God you believe in. That's what it's all about. And it isn't somewhere over the rainbow. It's somewhere where God is leading and guiding and directing. In fact, it wasn't until later that Abraham's destination was revealed to be the land of Canaan. You see, the promised inheritance was not an incentive for obedience, but the promised inheritance was a reward for his obedience. God had said, get out of thy country unto a land I will show you. Abraham had to get on the road before God was going to show him where to go. And many times that's true of us. It's when we start doing what we're supposed to be doing that God's going to direct us and show us. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew who was leading and who was taking him there, and that was enough. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew who was going. And oh, that we had such an abandon today, that we would by faith cast ourselves in complete trust to him. That we would give up, that we would just surrender it all to him and not have to know how it's going to all work out. So few are willing to step out for God, not knowing all the answers. Remember the old motto of the Marines? Marines, looking for a few what? Good men. 1985. The Marines, boy, that was neat. I loved hearing that. It made me want to be a Marine because it sounded challenging. It sounded hard. And I knew I needed that. I didn't become a Marine. But I became a preacher instead. Same thing. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, God was looking for a few good men. A few good men. But we need to step out even when it doesn't make sense. God said in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God says, I looked for a man to build up the wall. Couldn't find any. Couldn't find any. Today, believers, they want a package deal before they go out. They want a package deal with all the fringe benefits before they go on for the Lord. Young people today, they're too concerned about job security, what the pay is going to be, what the benefits are for them to take that job. You just go out. You just go out and serve God. and he'll take care of your needs. I didn't know. We came out here, and I don't know. My mom worried to death about me. She found out I was going to start a church. She said, Terry, you went to college, you got a master's degree. What are you doing? You don't even know if you're going to get any money. I go, I know, Mom, and this is what God's called me to do. Why don't you take a church where they have a salary and you know what you're going to get? Because this is what God's called me. She didn't understand. She wasn't a believer. But when there's too much emphasis today on the job market, on starting salaries, fringe benefits, job placement. Well, Daniel started out as a slave. Joseph started out in prison. Pastors won't pastor churches today because of income level and size in the church. Men won't heed God's call to leave all and follow him. They're too secure. They're too much in love with money. And they're trapped in a golden cage. They're in a golden cage, a lot of money, but they're trapped in it. I remember Dan McCandless. We used to support Dan McCandless, missionary to the Pima, P-I-M-A, the Pima Indians in southern Arizona. Dan was an electrician. He gave up a master electrician job in Colorado Springs, a very high-dollar job, to live in a trailer in the desert to try to reach Indians with the gospel. It was crazy. Looked stupid. Didn't make any sense. But God called him, and that's where he would go. And the blessing and the joy and the thrill to seeing God's hand move and provide. And going, oh, God always does. God always does. And he will for you. He provided for us. We started out, I needed an extra job. I had to get a part-time job, so I started working at True Value. True Value was just opening up, a brand new store. And I got a job there, made $4 an hour. $4 an hour. And then I got a raise after a year and made $5 an hour. I was in the money, I thought. that was a few years ago. Years ago, Wheatland Baptist, we bought some land. We're going to build a new building. We were meeting there where Dr. Ken Cotton meets on the dentist. They're on South Ash Street in the 4-H building and then on South Ash. And then we bought some land south in the, across the road from the cemetery that's all developed now. But we are the first ones to buy any land over there. Roger Lovett owned that 160 acres and hadn't sold any of it and called him up and said, we'd like to buy some of your land. And he said, well, I don't think so. I'm going to wait and see if I figure I can get a gas station to buy a corner lot. We wanted a corner lot on that land. And he said, no. But eventually he sold us some land. And we bought the land, but then we ended up selling it and using the money to help get us into this building. So God used that. But anyway, we bought land, and then, you know, we thought, well, we'll put up a building. Well, how are you going to put up a building? Then when we have a building fund. You know how much money we had in our building fund? We had $1. $1. But we had faith. We knew God would provide, and he did, in a different way. In a different way. And I didn't know how he'd provide. I didn't really think about it. But God was going to have to do it. You know, someone say, well, you know how much it costs to build? And I go, I really didn't know how much it cost to build. But I wouldn't worry about it. And I know it didn't always make sense, but God was going to do it, and he did it. And we don't always need to know. We don't always need to know what lies ahead. It didn't make any sense to buy this building. You that are old enough to remember were here back then. You remember that. It didn't make any sense to buy old Elks building, Elks Lodge. The air conditioner units were a wreck. They were up here on the ceiling over here, and they were rusty, and there were like, 8 units, and only 2 of them worked, I think. And the roof leaked in 30, we had 35 different leaks that we had buckets to catch when it rained. and it smelled like cigarette smoke. You walked in, the ceiling tile was yellow from the cigarette smoke. All over this building, the carpet had cigarette smell in it, and it smelled like that for a long time, especially when it's hot and humid. And there are times in that mind, what have we gotten ourselves into? Why in the world did we ever buy that building? Well, faith's abandonment, faith's obedient, faith's abandonment, and then thirdly, finally, faith sojourn. Faith sojourn. We're in Hebrews. Verses 9 and 10. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, heirs with him in the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city by faith. That's what faith will do. Keep your vision right. Keep it sharp. 2020 vision. He looked for a city. God had promised the land of Canaan to Abraham, but during his life, he never possessed it. He never possessed it. In Acts 7, verses 4 and 5, and God removed him to this land, and he gave him no inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. God said, Abraham, you're not going to possess it, but your son will. And Abraham didn't have a son at that time. But the only land that Abraham ever owned was Sarah's tomb, a cave in the field of Machpelah near Hebron, which he bought from Ephron the Hittite. And you read about that in Genesis 23. What if God promised you and your descendants the state of Mississippi? I know. Who wants Mississippi, right? But let's say he promised you Mississippi, because it's just wonderful. And Mississippi probably is wonderful. I've never been there, so I speak without knowledge here. I'm being judgment. But I just don't want to go farther south. I'm far enough south. And so he promises you Mississippi. In obedience, you travel there, and you spend the rest of your life in a camper with you and your family moving from rest stop to rest stop, camping area to camping area constantly. And in that state of Mississippi, you're always a stranger. You're always an outsider. You don't have a home. You're like the man of whom Johnny Cash sang about when he said, I'm just a poor, wayfaring stranger. I'm just a poor, wayfaring stranger traveling through this world below. There's no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright land to which I go. But for now, I'm just a poor, wayfaring stranger. See, Abraham was always a stranger. He was always a stranger. 1 Peter 1 talks about you and me being sojourners, pilgrims and sojourners in a strange land. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Right? Abraham was always an outsider. He never fit in. His faith was different and above those that were living at that time. He was a monotheist, He believed in a mono God, a one God. They were polytheistic. They were polytheistic pagans. They worshiped many gods. And he could never be at harmony with the people there. And so it is for you and me. We can never feel at home. As Christians, we can never be at home in this life, in this world. That's why we're called sojourners and pilgrims and strangers. Again, 1 Peter 1. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're never at home. And you know, it's dangerous if we ever feel at home and permanently settled here. Or if we ever get to a place where, well, I don't know if I'm in too much of a hurry to go to heaven. Now, I will say that in a sense, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave my family, you know, and I don't want to leave that void, but I sure am looking forward to being in heaven, to being with the Lord. Abraham went out and encamped out, and he was overall a patient, happy camper. I believe he was a happy camper. How? By faith. By faith. He looked for a city, Hebrews 11:10. He looked for a city. I've got a mansion just over in the hilltop. I've got a dwelling place. In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. He looked for a city, and we're to be looking for the only city. There's no other city, no other place, no other person who can satisfy but heaven and the Jesus Christ of heaven. Well, faith's obedience, faith's abandonment, faith's sojourn. Let's live by faith. Let's honor God by faith. Let's share our faith with others. By faith, we can do that. We can be and do what we ought to be and do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you now for this time that we can close. May we commit ourselves to you as we do, and may we recommit ourselves in surrender to you. Increase our faith, Lord. We believe. Help our unbelief. We struggle. We battle. We have this enemy called the devil and the flesh and the old man. And I pray for your victory, and that we can indeed be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for this time now. Bless our closing in Jesus' name. Amen.